Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I am Associate Athletic Director for Media Relations, Brian Freeman, and we are visiting for this week's episode with head women's basketball coach, Terry Fowler. Coach, appreciate your taking the time this week.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, earlier this week, came in before 7 a.m., bright and early, and I walked into the Mitchell Center to the sounds of squeaking sneakers. A lot of noise and activity on the floor, and that would be you, your staff, and your program. How glad were you with your schedule this month to be back on the floor doing coaching activities versus some of the other things we're going to talk about in your July schedule?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's always good to be on the floor, you know, especially we've been out recruiting and you've been away from your kids and the current roster, so it's always great to get back in the gym with them and catch up with them and just work with them on basketball.
And just to be clear for those listening, you know, this the NCAA allows you to do it with most of the student-athletes here this summer. What kind of schedule do you have with them in terms of being able to work with them on the court?
Well, the NCAA allows us to have 8 hours of, you know, work total with them. 2 hours of that is basketball related, and then 6 hours is with the strength and conditioning coach.
Well, like we said, this is a brief interlude for you because after the 4th of July holidays, yourself and your staff hit the road for an extended period in recruiting, and you will do that again here coming up shortly. That'll carry you through most of the rest of the month. Talk about July recruiting, other than telling us how much fun it is. What's your schedule been this month in terms of where you've been and where you're going and how many days you spend there?
Okay, well, I started out in Indianapolis. I'm getting confused already, but I started out in Indianapolis. I was there for maybe a day and a half, and then I caught a flight from there to Dallas, Texas, where I spent 2 days there and left Dallas and then flew to Louisville and spent 3 days in Louisville. So all in all, we're out 7 days. I think I was actually in the gym 6 of those 7. You know, and it's just you're watching games from 8 a.m. in the morning till, you know, 9 at night. You kind of, you know, a lot of things they've gone in women's basketball, a lot of things are under one roof. In Louisville, there were 66 courts. So you're just, you know, going from different court to different court. In some places, there's 4 courts in one site and 4 or 5 in another site. So you're trying to drive back and forth to see games. So it can be hectic. It can get confusing. But our staff does a great job of laying out a plan. And especially for me, they say, hey, this is the court you need to be. This is the kid you need to see. They lay it out all for me. And pretty much that's all I have to do.
At this time of year, like specifically for this July, are you going to watch girls who are verbally committed or girls that you expect to sign in November? Or is this more about 18, 19 and the year beyond?
Yeah, well, we're currently working on the 18 class right now. That's our primary focus. That's my primary focus. Coach Jackson and Coach Travis, they're really looking at some younger players as well. They're looking at 2019s, 2020s, and they've even looked at some 2021s. But my focus right now is currently the class of 2018, and then I've kind of dabbled a little bit into some 19s just so I can get a head start on that as well.
You are entering your 19th season as a head coach. It's a lot of years, a lot of mileage, and you know, how excited are you going into this season? And, you know, how do you stay excited and stay engaged? Because coaching's a grind.
Yeah, I think you try to make every year your first year. And so, really, we did put a focus on this year's kind of starting over. I mean, we've from talking about culture to getting back to fundamentals with our team, and treating our seniors like they're freshmen. So I think that's one way you kind of keep your batteries charged. Again, I think one of the best ways to do that is to have people that you enjoy being around each and every day. And so we have that with our players. We have that with our staff. And so it's just – and it's what I love to do. It's basketball. I've had another career before I got into coaching. And so I know what's that like, what's that like. And for me, it's this is not work. I've told people that ever since I got into coaching, I haven't worked, you know, 25 years. So
now, for those of our fans out there listening, when you go into a recruit's home, when you're talking to Dr. Erdman or something along those lines, you know, how would you put forth what your coaching philosophy is?
Well, number one is it's really about outside the game of basketball. The one thing we try to sum up our program is we're trying to teach the game of life through the game of basketball, and just the discipline that is required to be successful. You know, you can't be late on your job, so we're not going to be late in practice. And so right now it's kind of one of those deals where we do sprints, we do some punishments, but once you get into the real world, it's you lose a job. So we try to take that approach just as a total philosophy from that standpoint. You know, basketball-wise, hey, we're going to be a man-to-man basketball team. That's what I've grown up on. That's what I've always done. You know, we've played with an inside-out approach to on the offensive end of the floor. We really like to have a post player that can score and try to surround them with young ladies that can shoot the basketball. And then, you know, try to make the opponent's defense pick their poison. Are they going to double our post where we're going to kick it out and shoot threes? Are they going to lock up on our three-point shooters, and then they're going to give us our post players, let them go one-on-one? So basically that's philosophy.
You know, if you have to pinpoint an individual or a few people who helped you develop that philosophy, who would you say has guided your path in this profession?
Well, I would say Coach Don Meyer, the late Coach Don Meyer, just from his time at Lipscomb University. I worked his camps when I first got into coaching, and so I would say my overlying philosophy has come from Don Meyer and Lipscomb program.
What's your favorite part of the job?
The kids. Just hanging with them, and it gets tougher and tougher sometimes every year because, you know, kids are a little different right now, and keeping their attention is a little more difficult. But just being around the kids and really going back and seeing them, you know, those 4 years sometimes are tough. You knock heads, and then all of a sudden you see them, and they've turned into what you thought they could, and that's the most satisfying part about it.
You had to pick one thing that you really, if I could give this up and not have to do it as part of my job, what would you say is the one thing you would look at as your least favorite thing to do?
The travel and recruiting.
Perfect timing for this podcast with you right in the middle of that. You got your bachelor's degree in business administration back in 1986 at Lane up in Tennessee. Tell us about your path once you received your degree, because you didn't necessarily start right in coaching. What'd you do, and then what led to that change where you got into this?
Yeah, well, I received my degree on a Sunday, and I literally packed up my car on Monday morning and moved to Atlanta, Georgia. Had no job, had nothing, did have a place to stay, so I just kind of went there and tried to find some career in the business administration. wasn't able to kind of do that. So for the first year, just kind of did some odd and end jobs. But the guy that lived next door to me, his father was a scout for the Atlanta Braves. And this guy was the same age as I was. So he had a job on the grounds crew with the Braves. So I started doing that. Ended up doing that for like 5-6 years. But in the meantime, I got a job with the Internal Revenue Service. So I did that for 6 years. And just decided that's not what I wanted to do. And I'm not going to audit you either, Brian. But
Thank you.
But I do know some people that I could.
No, we would appreciate not going down that path.
So knew I didn't want to do that. And at the time, a friend of mine had gone to the United States Sports Academy in Daphne to get his master's. And I kind of looked into it. And my time with the Atlanta Braves, I met a lot of people in the front office. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get my master's degree, and I'm going to come back and try to work in the front office with the Atlanta Braves. And that was kind of the plan, kind of set up to do that. So I come to Daphne. I work on my degree. You have to do an internship. So about this time, I kind of shifted from front office mindset to, you know what, maybe I want to do something in basketball. One of my former college coaches, when I played Lincoln Memorial before I transferred to Lane, Rick Bird, was head coach at Belmont University, was going to go work there and intern there. But at the same time, one of my good friends from home in Jackson, Tennessee, and he's 4 years younger than me, he gets a head coaching job at Spring Hill College, and he asked me to come be an assistant. And so I was like, an assistant for the girls team? And he's like, yeah. And I said, I don't know about that. But I talked to some people, and they said, do it for a year. Just do it, and if you like it, you like it. So I did it for a year. Still wasn't sold on it. So the summer I did boys 16 and under AAU, and I just didn't enjoy coaching boys. And so I called a guy back and said, you hadn't filled my position yet? And he said, no. I said, if you'll have me back, I'll come back and be an assistant again. And I guess, like they say, the rest is history.
So because you made not necessarily last minute decision, but you already have a job and now you're just going to completely flip the script, there isn't necessarily, I think, things you do day to day that you would prepare for a coaching career necessarily. So once you got to the academy and then lined up that job at Spring Hill, how did you prepare yourself so that when you got in front of the team, they didn't look at you like, this dude doesn't know what he's talking about?
Well, and I guess one of the things, you know, all my life I've been a point guard. So I've kind of been a coach on the floor. You know, I've always, you know, and I played for some good coaches. Like I said, Coach Bird was awesome. Coach Wilshard Lane College was really good. And so I was studying those guys all along. And you know, sports was just kind of my thing. And that's one of the reasons I left the Internal Revenue Service. I couldn't get sports out of my system. So it was just, I wanted to be around it all the time. And so, like I said, I just kind of watched. And I guess I always kind of been a coach without being a coach. And so I'm not going to say it was easy, but I feel like I had been preparing and not knowing I was preparing.
And I was going to, this is about the point, actually, I was going to, you know, let our listeners know, and this week's guest on Inside Jag Nation is head women's basketball coach Terry Fowler. You played 4 years in college, the first two at Lincoln Memorial, the last two at Lane. You were all Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Association before you graduated, so you were recognized for your play. Is there anything other than just being a point guard and naturally being the leader of the team that you take from your playing days and apply as a coach now?
You know, just experiences, you know, seeing teammates, how they responded, different things like that. Again, always learning from your head coaches, your assistant coaches. But, you know, just mainly saying, you know, I tell our players a lot. I tell them stories. I'm a storyteller. And they like, but I'm not making this stuff up. It's from my experiences of playing or even at prior universities coaching. So just kind of taking the day-to-day experiences of playing and watching people play.
So as you mentioned, your coaching career, when you finally got it underway, began as an assistant at Spring Hill here in town. And then from 2000 to 2002, you worked two seasons as an assistant here at South. When you look back at your time then and now here since you joined, came back as the head coach in 2013 that spring, what are like the biggest differences, changes you notice in campus and the department from your first time to your second?
This is definitely not the place that I was at in 2000 to 2002. It's really changed from the entrances now with all the brick and nice walls, and that from, I think in 2000, it was some wood out here that just had a sign that said University of South Alabama. You know, from a department standpoint, football wasn't in existence at the time, so the department has really grown. So those are things that I really noticed, but just like housing, residents, the campus is growing. You see cranes on campus all the time now. That wasn't the case back then. I remember the cafeteria being over in the student center, and it was never open on the weekends. You know, I think it shut down Friday at lunch. And so now to see how the campus has just grown and just blossoming, I just think it's just a great time to be at the University of South Alabama.
You find that it's easier to recruit to here now than it was then? I mean, you talked about a little earlier, you know, kids are a little different these days too. It's not necessarily that you're recruiting the same types of kids that you did back then, but just because all those things that you mentioned, how much easier does it make that aspect of your job?
You know, our thing is once we get them on campus, we really feel good about our chances. You know, just the location of Mobile and with, you know, women's basketball, sometimes that's difficult. But anytime we've had kids, they've got this perception of the campus, even though we've sent them virtual tours, they've seen all the video, they've been on the website. But then when they come in town, I tell you, we bring them in and they come off of university and they see the engineering building, and they say, well, this is not what I was expecting. It's just for us to get them here. Once we get them here, we feel really good.
So we talked about your collegiate playing career. You grew up in Jackson, Tennessee. You remember how old you were when you started playing basketball and why you started playing?
Well, like I said, I played a lot of sports. I played baseball. I played football growing up. Basketball, look, both of my parents worked nights when I was young, so I stayed with my grandmother and my uncles a lot, and they shot basketball all the time. So, I mean, I've probably been in the backyard slinging it since I was 5 or 6 years old. And, you know, I was a much better baseball player growing up. I mean, just a really good baseball player. And, but I found baseball to be a little boring to me. I just thought basketball, you could be more creative. And I enjoyed it. I had a passion for basketball. You know, played baseball, but had a passion for basketball. So it's just always been a part of me.
At what point did you start thinking about, I might be able to play in college and I might be able to get a scholarship to do it too?
I didn't really think about that until my senior year. Because actually, after basketball season, my senior year, I started back playing baseball. I took like a 2-year hiatus from baseball. And then the first game I come back with my high school team, I hit a home run. I do some good things pitching. And I'm like, well, you know what, maybe baseball is my thing. But I just didn't have the passion. And then all of a sudden I started getting some colleges kind of talking to me. And went back on the basketball floor, gave up baseball in the middle of the season. And just kind of, hey, basketball is my thing, and this is what I want to do.
How did you end up at Lincoln Memorial to start? It was, you know, who else might have been recruiting you at that point, and why ultimately did you decide on that school?
Well, Lincoln Memorial was a they were trying to recruit West Tennessee players, so they had a quote unquote local scout guy in the West Tennessee area. And he had kind of like an open tryout, and I went there, and he picked me out of the group and another, you know, probably about five or six of us, and we took a visit up. So that's how I ended up there. Again, a lot of small colleges in my hometown, Lambeth University. Lane was recruiting me originally out of high school, a couple of schools in Kentucky. But I went on my visit to Lincoln Memorial and had a great time. I really enjoyed the coaching staff, and so that's how I ended up deciding to go there.
And then, you know, after 2 years, we talked about it earlier that you ended up going to Lane to finish your career and get your degree. What led to that decision?
Well, we got a new coach my sophomore year. And that ended up being Coach Bird. So it's kind of full circle, you know, and he brought in a couple of players that, you know, he had been recruiting. They transferred with him there. And I just didn't see myself in the mix of playing. And we actually took a foreign tour my sophomore year. And he had kind of gotten wind that I was thinking about transferring. And so we went on the foreign tour, came back. I had a really good four games there, and he brings me in the office and says, listen, I hear you thinking about leaving. I'd like you to stay, but let me know. The scholarship's there until July 1. Just let me know what you're planning on doing. And ultimately, I just, for whatever reason, I didn't trust the process and wanted to, I said, look, I need to move on. And decided to go to Lane College, which was at home. They had recruited me before. I knew the head coach for years because since probably eighth, ninth grade. And it just seemed like a good fit for me. So that ultimately led to the transfer. And, you know, still at the same time, Coach Bird and I left on a good enough relationship that I had the opportunity to come back and try to, you know, do my internship with them. And to this very day, we still talk occasionally.
Visiting with head coach Terry Fowler from the Jaguar women's basketball program this week on Inside Jag Nation. Let's talk about the coaching career. We talked about the start. You came down to the United States Sports Academy, caught on at Spring Hill, did a couple years as assistant here. You know, let's pick it up because then you end up back at Spring Hill and then ultimately up to North Alabama. You know, talk about going to North Alabama and that decision when you made it back. It's going to be about 10-ish years ago.
Well, you know, went back to Spring Hill after 2 years here. Kind of missed being a head coach, and the opportunity presented itself, and so went back there. But during my time here, I had met Dr. Urban. And so, you know, did 4 years back at Spring Hill College. And then North Alabama had an opening, applied for that. And, you know, Dr. Urban hired me there. So that kind of led to the decision to go up there. Just a place where they've had success in a lot of other sports there. Women's basketball, I played in the Division II Final Four in 1994 there. So I felt like you could win there. It was a great location from a recruiting standpoint. And so, you know, I always had to thank Dr. Irma for giving me that opportunity because that was a really big step in my career.
So, you know, but the program that you inherited wasn't Final Four caliber, and you rebuilt it, and in your twice in your last 3 years, you end up going to the NCAA tournament. So knowing that you were turning the corner up there, what interested you in coming down to South Alabama when the opportunity presented itself, knowing that you were having success up there?
Yeah, and that was a difficult decision, but what made it easy was it was South Alabama. It was Dr. Urban. You know, I knew Sherry Kenimer at the time who was here. Jeannie Frisbee. There were just a lot of familiar faces that I knew and knew the city of Mobile well, and knew what South Alabama had to offer. And it was, like I said, a different campus than when I was here before. And so that's what really attracted me to it. And you know, the other thing is you always want to try to compete at the highest level. So, you know, I had been in NAIA, you know, Division II, and the opportunity for a Division I head coaching job at the university that, you know, you felt really good about and you felt really great about the people, you had to take that.
2 years ago, team went 15-15, had a 10-win improvement. I mean, you're feeling good, got a lot of momentum going. And then last year, you've got injuries and other situations that, for all intents and purposes, decimated your roster. How frustrating was it to go through last season? I mean, you did finish 11-20. You got back to double-digit wins, but I know the expectations prior to the start of the year were higher than that based off of the previous year.
Yeah, no doubt. The group returning had high expectations. You know, the Sun Belt Conference coaches realized that and voted us pretty high in the preseason rankings. And then, you know, just things just changed. You know, we basically weren't coaching the team we thought we were going to have due to injuries and other things. So, and I feel like we kind of lost our focus. You know, we kind of got into the point where it was about results. And so I think that's why I said at the beginning, to come back this year, the focus is on the daily grind and just getting better each and every day. And don't worry about results. And so this group was not satisfied with last year. They've shown in the off season that they're willing to put in the work. And so again, we're just going to keep our heads down and we're going to move. And then at the end of the season, we'll look back and see how far we've gone.
You feel good though, like you and your staff feel good about where this team is at this summer that's getting ready to start the 17-18 school year in terms of being able to get that progress back on the track you had it on?
We do. And like I said, I think each and every one of our everyone associated with our program, from the managers, director of basketball operations, all the players, staff, have taken a personal responsibility in making sure that happens.
When you look at this year's team that you have entering the fall semester, what excites you most?
The energy and the hard work that we're doing right now. If we can stay healthy, I feel really good about our players. I mean, our young players have come in and been really good in workouts. Our upperclassmen have taken a leadership role. And just seeing the growth. I mean, just seeing the growth from the end of last season. Because I thought we were playing pretty good at the end of last season to where we are today. And we continually to get better.
What would you say, what would you classify as your, like, short-term goals for yourself in the program?
Well, I think it's to compete for a Sun Belt Conference championship. I think that's the standard here at South Alabama. You know, for us, from where we've come from, you know, we got to make sure we establish ourselves in the top five and then work our way up into there. I thought we were starting that process, and we took some steps back last year. But that's the short term. Make sure we put ourselves in a situation where we can compete night in and night out with the top teams in this league.
Beyond South Alabama, have you thought about any kind of long-term goals, or is it just about, I'm going to coach basketball till it's retirement time, and then I'm going to find something to fill the hours?
You know, I've had a long-term goal of one day getting into athletic administration. I don't know about it at this level, but I'd like to do that at some point in my career. But then I see how difficult it is. I see all the things that Dr. Urban has to deal with just on the day-to-day basis from fundraising and everything. But I'm always learning. I'm always asking questions to him about different things, you know, into season tickets, into marketing promotion. So I would like to get into the administrative side, or as Dr. Urban always says, the dark side.
So I think based on some of our conversations outside of work, it's fair to classify you as a fan of the NBA.
Big time.
Yes.
How much do you get to watch during the year? I mean, you got so much time and effort that goes into to running your program. How do you keep up with that? How much do you watch? What other avenues do you use so that you know everything that's going on?
Well, I watch it. I stay up late. I'm not early to go to bed, so I catch a lot of West Coast games. You know, after I watch film of us or whatever. You know, I think the problem is what you'll find from all of the coaches you probably done podcasts with, you can never really be a fan. I'm always learning. So I'm watching how they defend that pick and roll. What was that play? You know, I'm listening to the announcers. Hey, you know, when they spoke to Coach so-and-so, how they were talking about how they were trying to motivate their team and things like that. So that's the part that is kind of frustrating for me at times. I'm not a fan. I'm really watching it, trying to learn. But you know, one thing that I love to do is go into some practices and things like that.
Another area that I think you do a really good job in is because not all coaches have the time or really put forth a commitment, but you like going on social media. I'll see you out there on Twitter. Is that more for kind of fun and a little bit of a release? I mean, you keep up with some coaching people in there, but how much of that is personal enjoyment and how much of that is, well, I got to do recruiting through there too?
Yeah, no, you know, the recruiting portion of it is not, if I wasn't coaching, I would still do it. I like to throw out some thoughts and some quotes. You know, if I hear somebody say something, I put it out there and get some responses. You know, it's a great outlet to get news or to keep up with coaches and different events that's going on. But it is a place where the recruits are. And so you've got to be out there. You got to be active. And I just try to do what little bit I can do to help us in it. But it's always trying to be in a positive light and always trying to learn something or even share some information that I may have found somewhere.
Visiting with head women's basketball coach Terry Fowler this week on Inside Jag Nation. Before we let you go, we're going to need to find out a little bit about you personally off the court. So we're going to put the 30-second shot clock up, and you got to get it. You got to give me answers and get it out in time. First thing that comes to mind, your profession dictates there's not a whole lot of free time available. So when a moment pops up, what's your favorite thing to do?
I'm a TV junkie. I like the NFL too. So I love football. So I like the tendencies of football. So I learn a lot from football coaches too. So if I just got a moment, I will watch football.
Is that your favorite sport outside of basketball?
Most definitely.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Ooh, as a fan. Can I say as an employee?
Sure. Okay. Just you can't say being on the sideline for one of your games.
Not that. During my time for the Atlanta Braves, I worked on the ground crew. I was there for the Sid Bream, the Braves, and the Pittsburgh Pirates playoff game. So that was probably, you know, I was a fan and employee.
That always works out well. But you had come down here a couple years later. You weren't up there for the series in 96, were you?
No, I was not.
That's a shame because that game 5-1-0 was a heck of a ball game, though not a fond memory for Braves fans.
Right.
Breaks my heart. You get one athletic event that you've never been to, but you got to get there. What's at the top of the bucket list?
Man, this is going to surprise some people here. A night tennis match at the U.S. Open. My wife loves tennis. It would be great for me to be able to take her up there. And I think you got to do it at night because the New York crowd's really ruckus at times. So, yeah.
What's the best place you've ever gone on vacation?
I don't vacation a lot, Brian. So my staff, if I said something, they would know I was filming. So, Chicago.
You don't ever go on vacation? You're still married with four kids. You got to be taking them somewhere, right?
You know what? They do a lot of traveling with me when I go to Final Fours or do different things. So that ends up being a vacation for them, not for me.
Okay. So maybe long down the line when you're a college administrator and not beholden to your coaching staff and you're going to go one place that you've never been, where do you want to go on vacation?
Key West.
What's your favorite movie?
Anything that Denzel Washington is in.
Favorite book?
Playing for Coach Meyer. And it's a book about Coach Don Meyer. His players put together a book. Each player wrote a different chapter. And the reason it's my favorite is I know Coach Meyer really well. I know a lot of those players really well. So when they're telling the story, I can hear their voices, you know, telling it. So,
favorite musical artist?
The best musician ever, Prince.
And here, and this could be happening shortly for all we know, got plenty of experience, but when a Hollywood producer rolls into Mobile and says, got to make the story movie of the Terry Fowler story, what actor is playing the lead role?
Oh, I don't have an actor, but I have someone that a lot of people say we favor, Doc Rivers.
He may not be in the NBA. He may be available when that time comes around. You never know how that works, especially with job security at that level.
Right.
Coach, appreciate the time this week. Safe travels as you hit the road again to recruit the rest of the month. You know, I know when you get back, you hit the road again immediately. You guys the program's going up for a tour of Canada before classes start. So hope all travels go well. Look forward to seeing you during the fall semester and when the season starts in October.
Hey, thanks, Brian, for having me. Go Jags.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!